Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, and it's a big episode this week. We are going to be talking about the Season of Dawn. Thank you for joining us. Joining me in the studio today is Travis.
McClunky.
McClunky is right, and Brian Malkowitz.
C-Team.
Brian.
Is that this way?
C-Team.
This way?
This way. This way. No, it's this one. That one.
And to kick off the show, we're just going to get right into immediate reactions to Season of Dawn. So let's start with Travis. Travis, what did you think of this reveal?
I really, really, really like Saint 14, and I'm excited to for all of that stuff, but also Mercury, it makes me worried because it's Mercury.
Mercury is my least favorite destination in all of Destiny history,
yes.
And Curse of Osiris is my least favorite expansion in all of Destiny history.
I don't think you're alone
no.
by any margin. Like, I think that's like, I would say it's upward in the 90% range of player base like feelings towards that expansion and play space.
Yep. Yeah. I'm playing the trailer right now. If you're watching the video version, I've added some media to the show this time around. I'll see if I can do this more often. But yeah, we revisit Mercury. This trailer got a lot of people hyped. This trailer was absolutely excellent. Overall, I was really, really let down by the live stream. I feel like I'm concerned that we are going to run out of content this season yeah. that keeps us really, really engaged the way that Shadowkeep did. Shadowkeep was a really great example of, you know, giving us reasons to keep coming back. It seems like it sort of petered out near the end. And I'm concerned that going forward with these seasons, we're just going to run out of stuff. I will agree. The story stuff does sound great. Do you agree with my overall assessment about
yeah.
the worry that the community is
oh,
feeling?
Oh, yeah, 100%. It sounds like all they're adding is some maps. They're tuning the sandbox. All that's cool. But we're not really getting any, like, equipment refresh. It sounds like we're just getting some, like, a horde mode kind of thing. It's kind of unclear.
The sundial.
It's kind of unclear if there's even really a campaign or that.
Yeah, it's definitely not going to be a campaign.
Yeah, it seems like there's not. And then, obviously, the biggest letdown for me is as soon as I saw it was Curse of it was Osiris, Mercury. I was like, it's happening. My prediction's coming true. Trials is coming back. Here it is.
Yeah.
Nope.
And nope.
I mean, everybody's trying to set themselves up for failure on that one.
Yeah. So real quick, there was some comment about PvP from Cosmo. So let's jump forward to that. Cosmo sort of addressed this PvP concern. Everybody brought up that they want to see PvP revamped. They want to see a change. So he talked about all the changes that they have made to the subclasses that they've been addressing in PvP, how they're tweaking some of the stuff going forward, like Recluse is getting nerfed, OEMs getting adjusted.
Womp.
As they probably need to be. And he did talk about Trials. And the quote that he said is he reminded us that Trials is on indefinite
hiatus. You got to remember, Trials of the Nine. They're kind of pushing that. They always put the nine in the quotation marks because they're trying to leave it that open ended. Because they did that. Luke Smith did that in the director's cut before Shadowkeep came out, and they did it again in this tweet. That Trials of the Nine is on indefinite hiatus.
So I will say that I recognize absolutely the community's concerns about PvP. I don't know if I've made this clear enough on the show, but I think that the changes that they made this season have been absolutely phenomenal for PvP. Basically, the survival game mode, the 3v3 game mode, it is the closest thing we've ever had to Trials of Osiris, and I have been grinding competitive PvP basically nonstop. I'm at 4,500. I'm going to go for a reset before the season ends.
I was chasing
all the pinnacles and everything. I know I keep getting to like 47, 48, and then I'm bumped back down to 45, and I'm just stuck at like, what is it, Mythic 3?
Mm-hmm.
And then you hit Legend after that. But I absolutely love a lot of the changes that they made to PvP. I've been having a blast with it. I still want to see PvP revisited. I want Trials of Osiris or Trials of the Nine back as much as anybody else, preferably the Destiny 1 style mode. And yeah, so I don't want to be all negative about everything. They have done a lot of work in PvP, and they definitely deserve to be recognized for that. Still, we want to see a renewed focus.
Yeah, I think the problem is that there's no endgame activity for PvP, and we're kind of talking about how we're worried about there not being enough content, right? And a way to mitigate that is by investing in PvP, because it's kind of an unending pool of content, right? Like, if you create an endgame content for PvP that can keep players, you know, coming back week over week, it kind of makes it less pressure on you to come up with a ton of PvE content, which seems like it would be way harder to develop, right? Because that's my take.
Especially
on it.
Like, since every season is like mostly PvE centric.
Yeah, no, it seems like this would be a gimme, right? Like, create a PvE or PvP endgame mode, a Trials of Osiris or a Trials of Nine that has, you know, been tweaked to be a little bit more focused, and then let players kind of carry that throughout a season. That seems like it would be, you know, pretty easy to do. But I guess we're not getting that.
I know you're not a big PvP player, Brian, but do you notice any sort of lack, or like, what are you seeing within the PvP space? Anything positive or negative?
I think in the case of Trials of Osiris, obviously, Trials of Osiris, if it was going to make a return, this should have been the season, considering its theme. Mm-hmm. But on the other subject of Trials of Osiris is that it was less about just an endgame PvP mode, but the loot pool in the original Trials of Osiris was super interesting, and that's what kept people coming back. And that's what PvP needs right now, because it's been a while since it's had a good refresh, and there's no good PvP loot to chase right now. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably one of the biggest problems in PvP, more so of Trials missing.
Yeah,
I agree. Yeah, I think that's about all to say about PvP. People really want to hear what is going on with PvP. What are you changing? They have made some positive changes. We're getting Rusted Lands, the PvP map. I love that map. That is one of my favorite maps in Destiny. I'm really, really happy to have it back.
It's very good.
It's not the PlayStation exclusive. I was mixing it up with
that's
other
what I thought.
One.
Named Rusted Lands in the original in Destiny?
I don't remember, but it was the one that was in the beta.
In the very first beta. Yeah. Looking at that, I was like, that's going to bring back some stories. Yeah, and I'm actually really excited for that.
It's actually the one I used to play Iron Banner on a lot, and I got some sick Nova Bomb kills.
Nice.
Yeah. Back in the day,
that map's really cool.
You're probably talking about if you're playing like Control in that middle.
Yeah,
one,
Control,
the B zone.
Yeah. You just come around the corner and you just Nova bomb there, and there's just six kills.
There's lots of interesting kind of paths, like on the left side where there's the brick building that's destroyed.
The destroyed
A-zone.
Ruins.
There's
those
little paths you can go under, and on the other side there's near B zone those two ones that lead around.
There's that low hanging like concrete slab that goes over under at the A side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a well-designed map. They did talk about other maps that are getting added. Dead Cliffs, Legion's Gulch, Retribution, and Solitude are back. They're getting rid of Emperor's Respite. Good riddance.
Yeah, seriously.
Equinox, I liked. Firebase Echo, whatever. But Vostok? Vostok is a good map.
Well, a lot of people do not like Vostok.
It's not great, but half of these I'm glad they're leaving, and the other half I'm kind of like, oh, really? Like just delete Emperor's Respite. I really that map I don't like very much.
That map's terrible for Control. It's like completely unbalanced. Yeah.
And while I'm looking at my random notes, because there was a ton of little stuff in the TWAB, I do want to talk about one thing I've seen a lot in the comments of Fireteam Chat, and that's Silver and Bright Dust being adjusted.
Woo!
So did you guys read about this, Travis? Yeah, you did. Sure.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's long overdue. Like clearly the model they have now didn't really work because it was just whittling everybody's bright dust down.
And how is it changing for context?
Yeah. Okay. So actually, I should read the notes here.
The paper.
It's right in front of you. Where is it?
It's on the other side.
Oh, there it is.
There we go. Okay. So silver and bright dust is being adjusted now. 80% of your of stuff.
You can purchase stuff with bright dust.
Oh, right. Will be available with both bright dust and. Then what was the other part about?
They're going to tweet more. Anything that's only available for silver. They're going to put tweets this stuff you can only get with silver.
Yeah, yeah,
it
yeah.
will not be available.
Even though we data mine that information, I think. Start,
Oh, do they,
yeah. Yeah, but I mean, like, Like, I think it was, what was it, last season, where only 50% of the stuff became available for Bright Dust. Mm-hmm. Now they're changing it to 80.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is cool. But my concern mostly is with, like, replenishing your Bright Dust, right? Like, I've noticed mine just kind of keeps going down.
Oh, it's
going to
keep going down.
There's not really a good way to get more of it.
Even after the adjustments they're making this season, like, the Bright Dust economy is still going to be, you know, you're still going to only be able to afford, like, ghost projections and legendary emotes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like that needs to change, because I feel like I didn't gain any Bright Dust this season.
In Season of Dawn, all dawning weekly and repeatable bounties will award Bright Dust in quantities equal to the amount rewarded from Strike, Crucible, and Gambit bounties, 200 per weekly and 10 per repeatable. So that is going to be your new source for Bright Dust.
Yeah.
And
10 is not a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, buying like a ghost shell is like, what, 2,000?
Yeah.
Like
it's
a ton of Bright Dust. So,
because you're also not buying legendary ghost shells. You're buying those exotic ones, and those cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I care about, like the exotic stuff. So
they've definitely throttled the Bright Dust economy, and I think they're going to continue tweaking that to be in a little bit better place than it is currently.
Yeah. It's because they understand the fan criticism towards it, but they're still in the mindset is like, hey, we need to make money off of this stuff, mm-hmm. but we also need to find a way where we can make money off of this but also have players happy with the economy we've chosen for this game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I think it's gonna be a while until they figure that out. So
yeah, I'm okay with them supporting the game with microtransactions and just being cosmetic stuff, but this kind of it's a nice idea, but it's kind of speaking to a larger problem, which is there's so much in Eververse right now. There's really nothing you can obtain. There's really not a lot you can obtain.
Yeah, you're going to have this armor set to chase. I don't know if it'll be available in the Eververse, but...
No, that's the season pass armor, I believe.
Yeah. Okay.
But going back to what you were saying with the Eververse loot pool, is this has been talked about many times, but it's the problem where you see the themed items based on that season. So like... The ship that looks like the Scarlet Keep, why isn't that like the dungeon ship?
Yeah.
Why, it's just like, in Destiny 1, when they came out with Wrath of the Machine, they had a ship that you could get in Wrath of the Machine that was like all Sievified.
Yeah.
And same with Taken King. And it's just like, why aren't these things in the loot? Like, you can create a separate loot pool for Eververse, sure, but like the ones that are like heavily themed on the things that we're playing, like those should be obtained
while
playing the game.
I agree. It also feels weird that like all of the coolest looking stuff is in Eververse, and like,
for obvious reason, they want you to buy it.
Yeah, but your alternative is like looking kind of like mediocre.
Yeah,
if you
cool looking stuff for Eververse, but put also cool looking stuff.
Yeah,
in the game.
Yeah, I'm wondering if they're incentivized to make your armor look less cool if it's not premium. Like it. Yeah.
I mean, the entire season of Undying, all I wanted was to finish the season pass so I can get the ornaments, because I think that was the best looking set.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, no pinnacle weapons was a concern a lot of people brought up. There are going to be pinnacle weapons. They confirmed that on Twitter. They're just not revealing that.
I can't
at this
wait
time.
For them to be required for the title. That was a joke.
Let's talk. The Undying title was pretty rough. I hope they take the feedback of, hey, I don't want to go kill things with a assault rifle in your sundial mode for 900 hours. Let's talk actually about the sundial mode, using that as a jumping off point.
Sure.
We'll just play some footage from the stream here. What do you guys think of this mode? To me, it's a mix of Menagerie and the Vex Offensive together. Yeah. I am really concerned that this is what we're going to be doing until February 11th.
Yeah, I'm mostly concerned with that they didn't show a lot. They did a round where they pick up orbs and they throw them at Shielded Cabal, which is in no way a new mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be
honest with you, though, Brian. Like, I think this is it. That's what the sundial mode is going to be, and that's not that exciting.
Exactly. So, right. So that's why I don't want to jump to conclusions, because I remember when Curse of Osiris revealed, and they're like, oh, here's the Infinite Forest. Everybody's minds went crazy with possibilities of like randomly generated things and stuff like that. With this, they were like, oh yeah, now you're going to be playing with time and jumping through all these things, because the Red Legion are trying to rewrite an ending to the Red War. And I immediately, when they said that, I was like, oh, that'd be awesome if like somehow it, you're doing this, and then like at the end of it, you're doing some sort of like reprise of a Red War mission that, you know, is going in a different direction somehow.
Nope, it's
on. But and I'm just like, I'm like, you know what? I got to tame that sort of expectation and go, you know, that's not
going
to happen.
Yeah, that's what I thought from the trailer, because they show like the light going back in the Traveler and the
exactly. So there's just,
and you're like, whoa, what's happening here? Like, are we going to like alter the Red War somehow? Maybe Cade will survive.
So wait,
like,
you think that suddenly we're going to be teleported from Mercury to a scenario where it's like the Red War?
No. In the trailer, they're saying the Legion is trying to rewrite an ending to the Red War. So I'm just like, wow, maybe they're using the Infinite Forest to create different aspects of the Red War, and we would just replay them somehow at different time points in that period.
Yeah, I think what we're saying is that's what everybody would love to
see.
Absolutely,
you know? Absolutely not. But it's just that my mind went crazy when they said that because of the lore implications from it. You're just like, man, this makes me want that, even though I'm not going to get that.
Everything that they've shown has actually been more of a punch in the gut for me, because it's just like, hey, anything you thought was going to happen, oh, it's totally not. So just chill and relax.
Yeah.
And that's a bummer.
Yeah, it seems like the coolest thing, which is the whole Saint 14 storyline, the part I'm most excited about, because I'm a huge Saint 14 fan.
The greatest titan will live.
I was at Defender, Bubble, Titan, all of D1, like rocking the Saint 14.
Drunk
comment.
Bubble.
Yeah. I love that character.
Drunk Bubble.
But it seems like that's happening like halfway through the season, right? And it's probably going to be something small, like some of the in-between events we've had for other seasons. So
at the time of this recording, we've gotten 3 lore entries: the Acolyte entry, the Vanguard, and the Sundial entry. You've read them all, Travis. Why don't you just sort of tell us what are they developing story-wise?
Yeah, they're kind of fleshing out the background of Osiris and Saint 14 and their relationship. They were Saint 14 was the first Vanguard Titan leader before Zavala, he recommended that Osiris be the first warlock one and kind of like the leader of the whole Vanguard effort. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of going into their friendship and also how Osiris was basically responsible for Saint 14 dying, because he went on kind of a suicide mission to save Osiris and ended up getting trapped in a time loop and fighting the Vex for like eons and then eventually died and that sort of thing. So it's kind of building up their relationship and the stakes there, which I think is really awesome if we could get. I mean, and there's lots of like lore implications here, right? Like, if Saint 14 is alive, does Zavala get demoted? Like, are we?
No, I can guarantee you that at the end of the season, Saint 14 is still dead.
You think so? Man, that is.
I think there's no way that
I hope
he,
not.
I got to be honest with you. I think there is no way that they can continue to tell this storyline where he survives. I don't know how they could do that narratively, because the whole device of the Sundial is a time manipulation device, right? And in order to set things to where they are today, which the story's in a pretty good place. You know, the Traveler has woken up again. The tower is rebuilt. If you go back, you don't know what implications that's going to have.
What caused?
It's the whole time travel theory,
Well,
like, if you change something in the past, you could royally mess up the future. Biff Tannen could be our president.
No, I imagine it's that, like, he just loses all that time. Like, he just plops in and he's now here in our world and he just wasn't around during that gap. I mean, that's totally feasible. That wouldn't change a lot.
I think that's hard to write narratively.
Not really. He dies and then he comes back many years later. Like, he's just lost all those years. Isn't that like a trope in most time things.
There's a potential. I would hold on to that hope.
Dude, and you guys are such downers.
Well, it's because here's what happens every release. Community gets super hype, all these crazy ideas. This could happen.
Well, look what happened.
No, we're going to go to Mercury. We're going to mess around on Mercury, and then we'll never go there again.
Hey, at least we get to use Sparrow. All right.
That's true. I'm actually excited about that. But honestly, like, I know that the activities, I've kind of already, and I hope I'm wrong about this, but I've kind of already come to grips with the fact that what we're going to be doing in this DLC is going to be Sundial over and over again each week. We're going to log on and probably grind this thing out. It's probably not going to be super interesting, but I'm at least hoping.
That's a new one.
The hoping. I'm at least hoping that the story implications will be really strong and kind of like offset maybe some of the grindiness of the season. That's my hope.
I would love that. I think one of the biggest disappointments I had during this reveal is that we just had this pretty interesting lore beat in Shadowkeep about what's happening with the Vex Offensive and how Vex Offensive has somehow led us towards this Sundial event.
Which we have we seen like some sort of event that kind of leads into that?
No.
Just like, it's just no. Like, hey. Like
maybe we're going to get a cutscene.
Hey, you killed the Undying Mind.
Enough times.
Now come on over to Mercury. That doesn't seem like a really like.
Yeah, like.
That doesn't seem like a nice transition into it.
It could work. If
they show something at the start of the season or like the actual end of this season.
It sounds like from the trailer there's going to be some sort of cutscene where Osiris just shows up and is like, damn, you did it, bro. Yeah, like,
that's what is as long as we have some sort of cutscene that bridges that rather than like just like, all right, now you're at Mercury doing Sundial. Yeah.
You know, I'm going to hold my expectations on this one and just say that I'm pretty concerned about the storytelling abilities of this season. And it really bothers me. Well, I'm glad that we're getting lore on Bungie.net. So let me say that first.
Yeah.
It really bothers me that we have all these excellent stories that we have that we end up reading on Bungie.net that just seem not to be a priority, not just for Bungie, but for just game developers, period. Mm-hmm. Why is storytelling such an underrated thing these days? Apex sort of does it. Yeah, like it's not underrated, but like
underutilized.
Resource-wise, they're just like, yeah, let's dedicate fewer resources to storytelling within our game engine. Let's like do that in books or whatever. And it's just like, that's why I love games more than anything. That's why I love the Mass Effect series. Even like other games like Gears of War this year, Gears of War 4 had a pretty compelling story, and it drove me through that in the entirety of that campaign. Yeah. And it's such a shame that we get the B tier story within the game.
Yeah, it feels
like Shadowkeep being an exception.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, it was great storytelling, but it's not like a full story. Right? It stops suddenly. Yeah, I feel like storytelling is always a secondary objective with some of these bigger games that, you know, they're just trying to like churn out content. It's like, we can figure out an explanation for this later. Let's just try to create like content that's fun. And I think that's, you know, a fair way to approach it, but I'm kind of in the same camp as you for sure.
Look at Star Wars. What was it? Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order is the full title, right?
Yeah.
Fantastic game. Fantastic story. You don't have to put story second. I guess that's all I'm really trying to say. How do you feel about the storytelling lately, Brian?
That's it.
Yeah, there's no strong feelings.
It ended so abruptly.
Yeah,
No, it's just I think a lot of it is because like I mean there's probably like just studies that Bungie is doing, and they probably recognize that it's like most of us love like the lore and hearing the story of Destiny, but it's ultimately not what's keeping us going week after week. It's, you know, the power grind, the loot chase, and all that stuff. And so like, They're heavily resourcing to giving us things to do rather than giving us things to read and watch.
Yeah,
they're hedging their bets. They're doing what's ultimately going to keep us engaged over the course of a season or when a campaign drops. So I think that's probably got a lot to do with it, because I think if they focused, like, you know, obviously their resources are tight. So if they focused just a whole slew of things on lore, then they're going to have to cut back in other departments.
Sure.
And so that could probably be one of the technical issues that they're dealing with themselves. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that's what it is. I'm just saying that's a possibility.
Yeah, of course. Real quick, let's take a look at some of the stuff that we will be experiencing. I have the roadmap here in front of me.
Nice.
Season of Dawn Pass on the 10th, which is next week Tuesday, or we're getting the Sundial. We're going to be fighting Nerul, the Hollow Voice. And then free to all Destiny 2 players, you're getting your new artifact, the Lantern of Osiris. We're getting that Solar subclass update, the PvP mode, Elimination, Reprise. We get Rusted Lands back. And they didn't talk about this too much, but the obelisks will open on Tangled Shore and Mars. And that's, I don't know what
that is.
Is it
opening on those ones, or was it EDC and Nessus?
Well, I mean, that's what I'm reading right now. It says Mars and Tangled Shore obelisks open on the 10th, and then Nessus on the 17th. And then the Sundial will change to Ozzeltek, and we can't save a legend until the 17th either.
Yeah, so what's the... They didn't say anything at all about what the obelisks are, right?
No, they didn't.
They didn't say anything? Okay, so I'm assuming they're just leaving that up to, like, discovery. We'll figure it out.
They're being pretty quiet about it.
Yeah, because they did say in the stream that there are other reasons for you to go out the solar system for the season, like Tangled Shore and Mars. So we'll see what those actually are.
Well, as we've learned from the past, sometimes when they don't talk about things, it's because it's, you know, Vex Final Assault.
Yeah, now
it's
sector. Now that I'm thinking about it, is the obelisks are probably just like Vex invasions, but instead it's just Cabal invasions.
Yeah, it's something. Anyway, what else we got here? 12/17 to 1/14. So from December 17th until January 14th, we have the Dawning. A whole month of Dawning. Maybe you brush your teeth again. You like the Halloween event.
I can tell you it's going to be more
cooking. I did not
like
the Halloween event.
More cooking.
You loved it. Liar.
I just did it all. Begrudgingly.
On Christmas Eve, we have Iron Banner, where we can get the old armor again. And we also get the sundial.
It looked like there was new weapons, at least.
The Sun Eater. There will probably be new weapons. Destin, there's a bow. There's a bow, right?
Destin, it looked like there was a new sidearm.
you might be bumming the audience out with your negativity. Maybe we should talk about how Anarchy's drop rate is increasing really quickly.
By 5%. Yeah.
Hey, Anarchy's going up 10%, everybody.
Not going up 10%. Not going up 10%. Going up to 10%.
I'm trying to echo the sentiment of what a lot of the community is saying and putting forward, and I guess I'm kind of disappointed too. Like I feel like it's going to be a light season. I'm not mad.
I know.
It's just it is what it is, right? It's $10 worth of content.
It's $10. At the end of the day, it's $10.
Yeah,
that's not a whole lot of money.
But in IGN reviews, we don't take price into account.
No, of course not.
Part of our
yeah. So if you review this, Travis. Mm-hmm. Enjoy. 1-7. So we're going to get the Legend Sundial and the exotic quest Devil's Rune. And then 128 near the end of January, we're going to get the Bastion exotic quest, the Empyrean Foundation on February 4th, and the Inotam Oblivion's Triune? I don't know how to say that word. And then we get Crimson Days 211 to 218. And that is the Destiny events that we have coming down the road.
A month for the Dawning, but a week for Crimson Days.
I'm not sure how I feel about Crimson Day being the final thing on the roadmap to a season.
Hmm. I really like Crimson
Read Day. All players. The thing specifically for this is 2-4. That's the last thing on the roadmap for Season of Dawn specifically. Hmm. This is the calendar for Season 9 as a whole. Yep. So, you know, you got to separate that sort of
thing. Also, the obelisks are open to everyone, it looks like.
Yeah,
because they're going to be on the planet, so I don't think there's a way to isolate that for players who can't. It's just invisible while people are shooting at nothing who have the season pass.
It seems like there's stuff. We're going to have things to do, reasons to sign on. Am I going to play 260 hours like I did for Shadowkeep? No way.
And I doubt that was part of Bungie's plans. Like, all right, we got to make sure they play just as much Shadowkeep.
Yeah.
You know, it's a season that's going to be lighter, and then we're just going to, like, basically, there's going to be no rush to do anything this season since there's no, like, pinnacle activity adding, you know, being added to the game for us to need to grind a 970 or something.
God. We'll talk about pinnacles in just a second. One of the things I brought up was the subclass changes, and I put together a little montage, if you're watching the video again, of all the Hunter subclass changes. That knife looks awesome. This looks really, really, really good. Very excited about that. And
it's not just the knife, though. It's the little spinning.
It's like the flare of it and how it all plays out, and I don't know why, but I feel like this has to be CJ's doing because he's a Hunter main. And anyway,
CJ walks in and all right, guys.
I don't think it was.
I got this one.
Like Hunter knives.
I think I saw him tweet and he was like seeming surprised. Like he was like,
surprise. Sure.
You think so?
Surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm pretty excited about these.
I'm excited for that too. Yeah. I want every class to be more lethal. Mm-hmm. Like in terms of like,
I can't wait to see your hammer throw.
I know. I'm excited.
Yeah. The Warlock melee actually turned out to be pretty nice. I didn't think he was going to end up having homing, but it looked like from the reveal stream it does have homing. Like
nice.
Some sort of tracking on it. Now I don't think it's super aggressive, but looks pretty cool.
So actually in my random notes they did talk a little bit about some of the other subclass changes. So what do we got here? Titan Thundercrash base damage was significantly increased. The Night Stalker bottom hunters get invis longer and can fire their weapons for 0.8 seconds before they become visible again.
I don't think it's just the hunters. I think it's everybody who goes invisible. So that way, if you get surprised with an invis grenade, you don't immediately come out of it. So it gives you 0.8 seconds after invisibility to stop firing. Yeah. So that way you're not like just accidentally pulling out of the invisibility that you get.
Oh, that makes sense.
Oh, and I'm super glad that handheld Supernova is more consistent and therefore more powerful. I've watched people, like, because I've been playing comp, man, that thing is used consistently in comp, and it is a good power to have on the Warlock.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be good. Also, the Titan Thundercrash, it should be noted, you're in air longer. Like, that moment where you charge up is
and
longer.
And I think the damage is 200 versus 100.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's huge. I really like Thundercrash, so.
Yeah, so that was a pretty cool note. One other thing I wanted to get your reactions on. Mm-hmm. Going through here, we talked about Sundial. We talked about PvP at the top. Oh, so I'll just get your reactions first. The level grind has changed. We are getting a power increase. Mm-hmm. We're 960. That's our top power right now. And if you did the grind, more power to you. Well, now you can do it again up to 970.
Guess what power level I am right now?
What?
972.
Well, guess what? Because your thing resets,
You're going to be able down.
I'm going to go down to, I think my base is going to go down to 950 something, like high 950 something. And
mine's like 955.
Yeah. So I'm going to lose all of that progress I made. And then the new cap is going to be 970, even though I was already above. I know that, you know, the 970 is from the artifact, but that's not going to feel good.
Yeah, dude, that seems completely unnecessary. Like, I feel like nobody's actually at 960 base right now.
So. There's a few people out there, like all five of them.
Yeah, but like, why do this? Like, I'm, yeah, I just.
So now the soft cast has changed, so we have a reason to do all of our, you know, regular activities for a while. And those,
yeah, we'll be able to get up to 960 real easily.
Yeah, quickly.
I need two things to be 960, and then I'll get that on the day one.
I'll say this pinnacle grind is bad.
Yeah,
it doesn't really, it's not going to feel rewarding to hit the pinnacle each week. It's almost been lessened in some way.
Yeah, so I'm also curious on what is actually being added that gives pinnacle gear. I'm imagining that in some way the sundial is going to give you a pinnacle drop.
Yeah, we're talking about the armor next, because we have a new we have that new ability that we're going to have, infused with light, I believe it's called.
Oh, no, it's charged with light.
Charged with light. And we're going to have to acquire a whole new armor set to utilize that ability, or at least that's how it seems. I don't believe that's been addressed yet. If it has, please correct me in the comments. But they need to address the collection system, and they need to address the vault space system before they start throwing new armor. And literally the only reason that you would need this armor is to utilize that ability.
Charge with light. Yeah,
I mean, because, yes, for your collection too, but...
Yeah, but yeah. Now we're going to keep... Now it's going to seem... I think it started with Season of Opulence, is we're continuing this trend of where, like, all that armor you grind in the previous season can't be used with the new builds.
Right?
Because you can't...
I kind of recall from the stream them saying that the slot that was specific to this season is going away and being replaced with a new one. I watched it last night on the
plane. I hope you're correct.
If you're correct, right. And all of my Undying and Shadowkeep armor gets that new slot for Season of Dawn, that's great.
Yeah. What is it, charged with light?
It's charged with light, yeah. So, because I mean, right now you can't use anything from Season of the Undying with anything that is, you know, Menagerie or related to that, because you need those opulent slots.
Yeah, because didn't they say they're not really doing a whole lot of new armor, right? So no. it wouldn't make sense to just
make all that armor useless if that slot can't be, you know, if you can't use those mods with Undying stuff, so.
Yeah,
that one's a hard one to search for. So
yeah, I bet. Yeah. But either way, I mean, we can rewatch.
The other problem with that too is if the next season, if that isn't true, and the next season you have this new mod slot, all your new mods won't be able to take all the raid mods.
Yeah. So you're gonna have to keep multiple sets.
Yeah, which is fine, but then that creates the vault based problem.
Yeah.
Or continues it, at least.
Hmm.
Yeah, I'm trying to just read this article really quick to find the answer there. This is one that I didn't actually write on the run of show by mistake. But that is a really, really interesting thing. Interesting in a negative way, if we have to reacquire this armor right. Just to utilize this new power-up. And then the seasonal-specific mods that Nightmare mods are still a separate activity. So we will need this armor that can utilize Nightmare mods. And now we're going to need this armor that utilizes the Charge with Lights mods. And we have to make that decision about which one we want to use.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're doing Nightmares, you're going to pop on your Nightmare armor, right? And if you're doing Charge with Light things, then you're going to want the Charge with Light gear.
Huh.
Yep.
I don't see any raid on this timeline either. Did you guys see a raid on here?
There's no raid.
Of course not.
Really? That's great.
Okay, look, the thing is like, I had zero expectation of a raid. Like, I knew going in. Yeah, I was like, I mean, we didn't get one with Season of the Drifter, right?
I'm being cheeky.
Yeah, for sure. There's no way. That's my other issue and why I brought up, like, I'm wondering what activities will bring more pinnacle, like, things to grind for pinnacle drops.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, that's another 4 months of doing the Garden of Salvation.
Yeah,
I've done a lot of Garden of Salvation. I'm like, I'm
sorry,
I'm to the point where I don't want to play it anymore. Right. But you have to, because you need the drops for it. And it's like, that's one of the downsides of there being no raid. And I really hope that, you know, the Sundial is interesting enough of an activity for us to grind pinnacle.
The title will definitely be tied to Sundial, right?
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a no-brainer.
Also, I mean, it's also a no-brainer that the new ritual weapons are going to be tied to the title as well.
If I have to play Sundial as much as I had to play Vex Offensive, I'm going to hate Sundial by like the second week.
I won't hate it if it's fun and interesting and it doesn't have an overabundance of me needing to compete with my teammates to get things done. Mm-hmm. Right. That's the problem. It's one of the biggest problems of Vex Offensive's title, the Undying, is that you had to
compete
for kills in PvP for PvE, mm-hmm. and that's just right. That's not fun.
Yeah,
not rezzing people and all that.
Exactly.
Stuff.
I was doing that on purpose because I was like, oh, this guy died. Cool. Now I can kill all of these enemies with my fusion rifle, and he won't get any of the kills. Mm-hmm. It's speeding up my progress.
Yeah. Guard of Salvation is a great raid, but
I like the raid.
It's probably going to wear thin if it's pinnacle for. Next year or whatever.
So. I think I have 6 full clears and I'm good. Like I stopped doing the light level grind around 955. I'm like, wait a minute. So they're gonna raise it. That means this whole chase the 960, I'm gonna complete the first week of the new season, right?
Right. Yep.
So
The run to 960 was actually kind of pointless because the raid cuts off at 940. Not cuts
exactly.
off, but I mean, your power delta, you know, at some point will cut off. But
plus 15 power, so I once you're 950, I'm really 965. Yeah. The hardest activity in the game is what,
980. Yeah, the Master Nightmares or whatever.
Yeah, and I'm within the power delta to clear that fairly
easily.
Here's
the question. Are they raising the activity to 990?
I think so, probably.
Probably not those activities, but the new
ones. No, sorry, I'm talking about like Nightfall Ordeal. Like, are they going to raise that to 990? Because everything that's master leveled is 990. So
right.
It's like if you're going
to... I think Legend Sundial will be 990. That's how they have to do it because of the artifact.
Right.
I don't know. Because think about it. We have our artifact buff right now. The highest power we're going to be is 970. Let's say by the time the Legendary Sundial thing comes out, we'll have like plus 15 artifact again. So we'll be like 965, 970. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
that mathematically, that makes sense.
I think assuming that they want to do that, but we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. That's pretty rough.
I don't know.
Going over some of the other random notes before we end the show here. Exotic Engram and Faded Engrams are now one item. So if you don't have an exotic and you pop this, you're gonna get one of the exotics you don't have or a random exotic.
Exotic armor.
Armor, yes, mm-hmm. And that is one of the things people were discussing about their builds. They want to have more options with their exotic builds, and this will at least provide it for the armor. Get your Ariana's Vow Catalyst quest and make sure you pull Ariana's Vow, any armor, anything you have in your season pass, do that this weekend. Pull it all out because it's gonna go away.
So actually, going back to the Faded Engram thing,
did they
say whether or not that's still going to be one account based per week?
I don't understand your question,
because right now if you go get a Faded Engram, that's one per account per week, right? You can't log into your other characters and get another one.
When open rewards exotic, it doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
Contents are still class specific.
Is it? I feel like I've done
well. The one you buy from Xur, that's account wide.
That's what I mean.
Okay. Yeah.
Now it's going to drop. It'll drop random armor. So is it just that's still just one random armor piece of exotic per week?
Yes, for your class.
Did they change that? I feel like I've bought Faded Engrams on multiple.
Well, here, let me read exactly what it says. The Exotic Engram and the Faded Engram have been collapsed into a single new Exotic Engram item. When open, it awards a new exotic if any remain to be collected. Otherwise, it contains a random piece of exotic armor.
Oh, so that's
so if you have all
world,
the exotics.
It's talking about world drop engrams too, is what
yes.
you mean. That makes sense. Okay.
Have all the weapons, you're going to get armor. Actually, it's kind of a bummer because then I'm going to have to infuse up all my exotics. But I just pull them out of collections.
You can
like
pull them out of the collections. The issue is because of all now with weapon affinity and stat rolls. It's like I have like a Nezarek Sin that I like using a lot, but it's got a crap roll and there's no like, you know, good way to get a Nezarek Sin. So now adding this and making sure that it's only going to drop a piece of armor means that I can start getting like really good exotic armor rolls.
That's cool. Some other good stuff. Mods are only 500 glimmer now. Gunsmith is going to have repeatable mods. That terrible field calibration mod is now a single objective, so you can do any of the events that you like, and it'll just increase. I like that a lot. I didn't like having to go into the different modes, but hopefully those modes stay populated enough to, you know, things. New mode, specific daily crucible bounties. By the way, they're getting rid of melee and grenade bounties. Thank you, God. Those were the not fun crucible bounties. And there was something else here. Yeah, Gunsmith has repeatable mods. The last important thing that we should discuss, and that is escalation protocol. They're getting rid of the keys. You always get armor for your class upon completion. And what else did they say? Key fragments are gone. EP weapon drops are remaining the same, but Escalation Protocol is going to be a worthwhile event because you can get an armor drop every time you hit rank 7. Now, I think we're going to see a large population sort of clamoring to get that title and to get...
Oh, for getting Wayfarer?
Yeah, and to get that set. I think that'll be pretty fun.
Yeah. Did we talk about the new exotics that they showed or at least mentioned?
The two exotics on the roadmap were Devil's Rune and Bastion. Bastion we saw in the trailer.
That's the one. There's Symmetry, right? The scout rifle / linear fusion rifle?
Yeah, that was...
Oh, I missed that one. Yeah, there's one that you pull in the season pass,
I think that's
right?
the one you pull in the season pass at the very beginning of the season if you have the premium version. Otherwise, if you're not paying for the season, you have to wait until like level 40 or something like that.
Yeah, let me try and find it here really quick.
Something that's not in there also is...
It's not on the TWA, but they did mention that.
Yeah, it's in the trailer and then in such like that.
Yeah. It was like he was shooting people with like a scout, and then he changed it and it became a linear fusion rifle.
I imagine it's like a type of thing like Izanagi's, where you consume a certain amount of ammo or something to.
Yeah,
turn
he fired
it into
three
it.
Times though. He killed three people.
Yeah, I wonder how that works.
I wonder if you have to get kills first and then
charge it.
Yeah, here it is.
Yeah, something like that.
Get access to rewards. Instantly unlock the exotic scout rifle Symmetry plus exclusive seasonal armor sets when you get the season pass. Require season pass. Free to all destiny. Okay.
Yeah.
And well, then they show the sidearm, which was the rune.
Sidearm looks cool.
And they show the other one. I folded up my paper.
Sidearm was cool, but are we going to use it after
it's
we
called,
get it?
It's called Exotic Bastion or Bastion.
Bastion and Devil's Rune. I'm excited to see what they do with an exotic sidearm.
So we haven't had one since Trespasser in D1.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, right. No, sorry, Rat King.
Yeah, Rat King.
Rat King.
Who could forget Rat King?
Who could forget Rat King? The sidearm everybody's
the best way to complete raids.
Oh, God.
Six team Rat King.
I forgot about that.
I'm excited for that. And then the other thing is that we're assuming we're going to get same 14 shotgun, right?
Pull it out of your collection. That's the joke everyone's making, right?
Yeah, but I think there's going to be something else, right? Like an exotic version.
An exotic version of it or a randomly rolled version of it.
Yeah, I hope.
Season pass, there was one thing that sort of concerned me. It looks like we're getting new items that are going to take up item spaces, like this weird honeycomb thing.
I'm sure it's a new currency.
Oh, come on.
Chocolate strange coins filling up your vault.
Like, do we really need another new currency?
Another interesting thing is they haven't talked about what that new engram is. What the contents of the new Eververse engram is.
Oh, it's probably just last season.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't give them ideas.
It's probably last season content.
Oh, one thing we actually didn't discuss, and that's how we'll wrap up the show. It looks like they're actually pushing us towards new weapon types. If you look at what was unlocked in there, how do you feel about using Scout Pulse and bows?
I'm down.
I don't mind Scouts and Pulse. I love my SMGs though.
The problem is I know we've mentioned this before, but it goes back to pre-Shadowkeep launch when they were saying like we want people to be able to play their way.
Psych.
But then you release an artifact that limits me by having to use a mod on specific weapon types.
For PvE anyway.
Yeah, for PvE still.
Yeah.
Still even then. Like I'm gonna feel useless if I wanna go in and use like exit strategy in because I like using that gun in PvE, but now I can't. Unless I want to use a secondary primary weapon.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that.
This is something I just noticed looking at the page. Choose which weapons to earn by completing time-lost weapon frames. So the weapon frames that are going away from Ikora. By the way, most stuff, if not everything, is going away that was associated with Ikora. And you're going to be able to get these new weapon frames for this event.
Mm-hmm. So, I think we'll see some pigeons.
Yeah.
St. 14's likes pigeons.
If you got a good optative hand cannon, hold on to it. The Shadowkeep stuff you can still acquire.
Yeah, you'll still be able to get all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Overall, I'm really left not sure how to feel about the event. I'm trying to be optimistic, even though I probably sounded very pessimistic on this show.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I'll wait to play the Sundial, see how it turns out. I hope it's just not Vex Offensive 2.0, which it doesn't look like already. Well, actually, no, never mind. It does look like Vex Offensive 2.0 right now because they didn't show us anything beyond that first wave that they did. Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah. It could be good, though. They could have surprises.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I'm sure they will. I'm sure they're not telling us everything. to allow for surprises. How are you feeling about it?
Yeah, I'm excited for the PvE stuff, but for someone like me who would like to spend more time in PvP and have like an endgame content, it's definitely heartbreaking to not see PvP and to have them reiterate that it's indefinitely on hold. So should I even have a glimmer of hope that they're just misleading me and that Osiris,
I would
Trials of Osiris
oh,
is
no,
there?
I would not expect they would heavily market Trials
yeah,
of Osiris.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
That'll bring so many players back.
Have you seen all the people trolling by retweeting that tweet from 2016? Trials is back. A lot of people have been quote-tweeting Trials
up.
Is back,
that's
but it's a tweet from 2016 from Bungie. And then they troll people with that.
That's gross.
Yeah, they were doing that for like weeks.
But yeah, I'm excited. I'm really excited about the lore stuff. I'm excited to see what they do. But I'm kind of on the same level as you guys were. Like, it seems pretty thin. It is $10, but we also have to keep in mind they're taking all of the money from, you know, the Eververse stuff. And mm-hmm. with that sort of monetization, it kind of makes you wonder, like, you know, what are they building? What are we like? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, but they said they couldn't keep up with the old model, right?
Yeah, like Opulence was super taxing on them to have like a raid and an activity like the Menagerie and everything that came with that season. So
maybe we're too needy. Maybe we're too needy.
Maybe
it's time to all hold hands and
CJ used to sort of talk about the roller coaster that is Destiny, right? And I think we're going into a lull period for sure. We're going to be exploring a lot of other games and like checking out other stuff because I don't think there's enough there to satiate how much we want to play Destiny, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And I think that's why people feel let down. They want this to be their one game that they play all the time, and this is just your snack.
But you can do that if you have a PvP endgame activity, because people will play that, and it doesn't require you to make new content because they're making the content for you.
I think you're right. I think that is like the big thing lacking, and hopefully this Trials hiatus results in Trials coming back in a big way. Brian, any final thoughts?
Nope.
All right, well, thank you for watching. This week, I want to hear what your positive thoughts were about this new season with a footnote of your negative. So positive on top for homework, negative on bottom, and we can talk about them on next week's show to get the community reaction and the good things that they like, because I think I spread enough pessimism for everybody this episode.
Well, we got that anarchy buff, you guys. We got it.
Maybe I'll get it. I still haven't done my run for this week, and then next week I'll have my 10% chance.
I predict that that anarchy will become meta in the Sundial, and Destin will not be able to be part of it.
It's the only exotic I don't have. And these are all quests. We have all quests coming up. So
I'm down.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, thank you for watching. And until next time, everybody,
Guardians out.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.